Matthew chapter 11. Let's ask the Lord to bless His word. Our Father, we bless Thy name. Lord, indeed we're humble this day as we sing of our great High Priest who has entered into that holy place in our behalf. With the names of His people written in blood upon His own breast, engraved and set. And Lord, we desire this day to be mindful of that which Thou hast done for us, and to give Thee honor and praise. For Lord, Thou hast spared no expense to purchase the redemption of Thy people. No price was too great, no suffering too intense. For Lord, Thou hast trod the winepress of God's wrath alone. And Thou hast come forth victorious. And Lord, we would fall upon our faces and worship Thee, for Thou art worthy of all praise. For who is likened to the Lord? Oh, blessed Lord, who is likened to Thee, glorious in holiness? Who is likened to Thee, full of mercy to them that call upon Thy name? Lord, how can it be that sinners such as ourselves could have the expectation of hope, except that Thou, O Lord, didst bring it to pass according to the good pleasure of Thy will? And Lord, we thank You this day for Thy mercy and kindness revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, Thou art indeed the Savior of sinners, the help of the helpless, and the hope of those who have no hope. Teach us, Lord. Lead us that we might find a place of comfort in Thee and Thee alone. O Lord, deliver us from the many places that men place their confidence. And Lord, we are prone to place our confidence in so many things. Oh, deliver us, we pray. Yes. And may our hope and our all be found in Christ and Christ alone. For there alone is the place of salvation. Lord, we bless Thy name. We praise You forever. We ask You, Lord, that You might bless Your word this day. Cause it to be heard according to the good pleasure of Thy will. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, and beginning in verse 25, let me go back up there and begin in verse 20. It says, "Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The gospel is a very sweet message. At the same time, it is a very disregarded and despised message. And it is at one and the same time both things. It's not one time despised and another time loved and vice versa, but it is always, when it is preached, despised and loved. It is despised by all men who seek to establish a righteousness of their own. It always will be. It always has been. When the Lord came to speak to these Jews, these multitudes, and He said to them, if these things that I had done in your midst had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah would still be here. They would have repented. Now, was he commending Sodom and Gomorrah to them? No. He was showing them the depths of their wickedness in having seen the mercies and kindnesses of God set forth before them and not receiving the things that were said. And this is always the way that it will be. In fact, the Lord thanked the Father that it was this way. He said, I thank thee, O Father, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. That is, from those who are full of their own importance, full of their abilities, full of their capability, full of their faith. We hear much talk of faith in our day. There are so many faithful people, and they are quick to tell you how faithful they are. They're quick to tell you how you can have all the things you want by just having a little faith. If you'll just be like them and have faith, your problem is you don't have faith. If you had faith like me, you'd have something. Come on. Where are you at? What's your problem? Such people go about to establish their own righteousness, even though they might deny that they do, because faith is the gift of God. And a man cannot believe the things of God if God doesn't give him faith to believe it. And if God gives him faith to believe it, the Scripture says, wherefore dost thou boast as if thou hadst not received it? So wherein is there a place for men to look at themselves or the things around them and say, these are good. We're doing a great job. No, the Lord said, when you've done all the things that I told you to do, say that you are unprofitable servants. Not when you've messed up and not done half of it, but He said, when you've done everything. Now, men like to grade on the curve. They like for things to be compared one to the other. They like to say, my righteousness exceeds the righteousness of so-and-so. Therefore, I'm a little further up the ladder. But it doesn't make any difference. That ladder doesn't reach the top. You know, it doesn't make any difference how far you climb on a ladder if it's not leaning against the building you're trying to get into. You're never going to get there. It doesn't make any difference how fast you climb up it. It doesn't make any difference. And so the Lord said that He had hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but He had revealed them unto babes. Now, when you think of a babe, you think of something that's helpless, something that has no ability to provide for itself. Now, the prevailing message that abounds all around us is that you can do it. It's up to you. You can do it, whatever. And that sounds good. There's a place for motivating men, but not in spiritual things. See, you can motivate men to get out here and run faster and hang on to the end and all of that kind of stuff in natural things. There's a place for that. But you cannot motivate men to persist in spiritual things. Because the only way that men will persist in spiritual things is if the Spirit of God does sovereignly give them the grace whereby they may persist. And that's what the Lord said that He had done. He said, I thank thee thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, those that go about to establish their own righteousness, those that think they are something when they are nothing. He said, you have hid these things from them. But those that are babes, those that are weak, those that have no strength of their own, you've been pleased to cause them to see it. Now that's the sweetness of the gospel. And you see, it is a sweet message when we read these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, what is it? He says this right after he got through saying, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Now you see, when we preach the gospel, we're proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ, wherein He has said to those to whom He has revealed Himself, come unto me. Now some would have us to believe that the Lord says indiscriminately to all men, come unto me. But you cannot find that in the Scripture. That only exists in the thought processes of men. Come unto me, what does He say? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Some men tell us, well, whosoever will be saved. No. Whosoever believeth. There's a big difference. Now men assume they have the ability to believe. But you see, a man that assumes he has the ability to believe does not know himself to be lost. When the Lord is pleased to show a man his status as a babe, as a poor man, then he knows he does. He can't even believe. He wants to believe. He says, Lord, help thou my unbelief. But he doesn't find within himself the ability to believe. And when somebody says, well, just believe, he may say, well, I'm trying with all that's within me, but I just can't. Because you see, it's not within a man's power to believe, except when the Lord is pleased to give it to him, and then the commandment of the Lord comes to him in such a way as to say, come unto me. Now you see, this is an invitation of a sort, but it is an invitation given to a specific people. But those specific people, it is an invitation of the sweetest and grandest sort, because He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is a message that's spoken to men without regard to their social status, without regard to their race, without regard to their standing in the eyes of men. is given to men indiscriminately in that fashion for all men. But it becomes effectual, and it is set forth specifically to those who are described in it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And so when we preach the gospel, we want to always set forth the words of Christ who said, come unto me. But we all so want to set forth that a man by nature does not seek out such things. But oh, what a tender message this is to all who find themselves beset by their sin. Are you in that situation this morning? Are you bound down under a heavy load of sin? Do you see yourself lost and undone? Do you see yourself without any hope, without any help? Then these words are sweet because they say to you, they say in the power of the Spirit of the living God, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You see, the Lord would direct His people to come to Him, to run to Him. The bruised reed will He not break, and the smoking flax will He not quench until He's brought forth judgment unto victory. You see, the Lord calls His people. And when a man's heart's breaking, he calls to Him. Regardless of his age. At what age can a man come to Christ? I don't know. If there's no certain age, but I'll tell you this. When the Lord calls a man, he hears the sweetest message in that he's ever heard. Now, until his ears are open to it, he just sees it as a formula. See, most anybody today, if you ask them, well, how can a man be saved in this area? I mean, if you went out and did a survey, I would venture to say 80% of the people could tell you, well, a man's got to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. They would on the surface understand that. You can teach somebody that. That's not a spiritually learned matter. You can teach such things as that by rote. You can go to school and learn that. But what I'm talking about here can't be learned in school. Because it can't become a thing that is sweet and precious to a man to the point that he runs when he hears it. Like we've been studying with Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. How when he heard the sweet words of the gospel, he ran towards the one who said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You see, God's people are drawn to Christ. They run to Him. He says, come, and they come. He said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And He says to His sheep, come! Come to me! And it is a sweet message. And they hear His voice. And it is to them a delight. It's not a formula. It's not a card that they filled out. It's not an aisle in the church house that they walk down. But rather, it is the reception of a tender word of consolation. The Lord said, if these things had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they'd have repented long ago, but you didn't. But He said, my Father, which has sent me into this world, does give me power to reveal the Father unto as many as I will. And these are the ones that I will reveal that to. Those who hear me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Are you heavy laden? Are you laboring? Are you just trying to be religious? Are you just trying to go through the motions? Are you just being there because somebody else told you to be there? Come, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, there is rest in Christ. There's rest from our constant labor to try to be good. I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to finally turn over a new leaf. How many leaves you ever turn over? I mean, they don't make enough lawn bags to fill up the leaves I've turned over. But you see, He gives us rest. How does He give us rest? By causing us to recognize that He alone is our hope. You see, that's wherein the people of God have rest in Christ. Is that they believe Him. They expect that He is the one who is their righteousness. This is the very thing that the Jews stumble at. It's the very thing that all religious men stumble at. Christ is the righteousness of His people. There's not one thing in iota, shape, form, or fashion that they can add to that. Not one thing. Rest. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now the yoke that he's speaking about here is not like a yoke of oxen, but it's a yoke that had to do with when men were in various schools, they wore a garment that was called a yoke that denoted what school of thought they were of. If they were in Socrates' school or Plato's school or whosoever school they were in, he said, take my yoke upon me. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You see, this is the place the Lord calls His people to be, not proud, high, and lifted up in what they are, but knowing that He alone is their righteousness. What is there to boast in? You see, then, what he's speaking of here is that a man doesn't go forth into the world saying, well, I'm a believer, and buddy, if you're going to be a believer, you've got to be just like me. This is the way it is. No, he says, look, all I know is that Jesus Christ is the one that said, come. And Him alone is the place I can find rest and peace and help. I don't know if I'm going to hold out till next week, but I know that Christ will always be the rest of His people. I know that I'm seeking out no other but Him. He is my help. For He said, I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest to your soul, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You see, the Lord doesn't weigh His people down with many, many duties and tasks to perform. But He says, come unto me and learn of me. What a blessed thing that the Lord does teach His people. He teaches them to be meek and lowly in heart. And you know, that the very truth of that is the thing that causes us the greatest consternation, is it not? Because we see how far and how little of that understanding that we have. how little of it exists in us. But the Lord said, I am your rest. He said, learn of me, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, I'll make you perfect so that you can look at yourself and say, well, I'm doing a good job, or that other people can look at you and say, well, he's really a fine Christian man. No, but he said, I will be your rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For my burden, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm not weighing you down, but I'm setting you free. Oh, what a sweet thing for the people of God to see that Christ has borne all the requirements. Now, if he's borne all the requirements, there can't be any left. That's a glorious thing. What a sweet relief. That's grace. That's mercy. It's the kindness of God to show His people who He is. Oh, that we might be found in His school day and night. For He is the teacher of His people. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And He says, another shepherd will they not follow. They'll flee from him. Why? Because you see, the other shepherds say, do this and live. The other shepherds say, well, you need to adhere to this. You need to adhere to that. Christ says, come unto me. You see, that's the place where God's people are found, is at the feet of Christ. Learning of him. Waiting upon him. And therein do they find the place of rest. I can't give you rest, but He can. No, the church can't give you rest, but He can. And He will. And He says to all who are weighed down and burdened for sin and sorrow and know themselves to be lost and without any help, He said, come unto me.